From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. Once again this week, I've chosen three articles related to COVID-19. Obviously, this pandemic is a big part of what we're thinking about and what we're doing in practice. And so, as science evolves, I thought again this week, bringing you articles related to this problem would be useful. We're going to talk about three different studies. One of them is a study from China looking at patients who are admitted with COVID-19 pneumonia and the question of whether ACE inhibitors or ARBs are associated with higher risk. A second is a really nice article which thinks about the use of antiplatelet therapy after PCI in patients who are COVID-19 positive. And then the last is a really important article that came out this week in Lancet, which looks at the experience of screening healthcare workers in England. And I think it has relevance to our practice as we start to open up. So let's get started. As you know, we've been talking about uses of ACEs or ARBs in patients with COVID-19. There's a theoretical disadvantage of the possibility that these drugs could affect the receptor that allows easier viral entry into the lungs. And this is a study which I think is the largest yet, which looks at this question. And investigators in Wuhan studied about 1,200 patients who were hospitalized to a hospital with COVID-19 infection. And they analyzed their frequency of hypertension, what drugs they were on, and what happened to them. So among the 1,200 patients or so, the median age was 55. About 46% were men. The overall hospital mortality was 11%. About a third of the patients had hypertension, median age 66. Patients with hypertension were older, and they were more likely to have chronic conditions. A third of the hypertensives or so were on either ACEs or ARBs, and they looked at overall outcomes. The mortality in the hypertensive group was 21% versus 6.5% in those without hypertension. And importantly, the severity of infection and mortality did not appear to be affected by whether or not patients were on ACEs or ARBs versus other antihypertensives when they developed COVID-19 pneumonia. So I think this is the strongest evidence to date that I've seen, at least, suggesting that ACEs and ARBs for hypertension appear to be safe and do not appear to confer excess mortality in patients with COVID-19. This is, of course, in line with both the ACC recommendations and several other societies that have recommended to us we continue these agents as antihypertensives in our patients who may be at risk for or actually have COVID-19. The second article was published this week in Circulation, and it looks at some speculation about antiplatelet therapy after PCI in patients who are COVID-19 positive. And it goes through some of the interesting issues that we have with COVID-19. First of all, diffuse alveolar hemorrhage is a common finding in lung pathology among patients who are biopsied or pass after COVID-19 infection. And it raises the question, of course, whether dual antiplatelet therapy could increase this tendency to bleeding. On the other hand, thrombosis and hemostasis are important in COVID-19, and there's a prothrombotic mechanism. And so you could argue that potentially antiplatelet therapy might have a benefit. In fact, the speculation would be early antiplatelet therapy with P2Y12 antagonists could be inhibitory to platelet activation and neutrophil platelet aggregates, which may be a mechanism affecting lung function. Clearly, in terms of timing, in the early phase of infection, platelet inhibition might reduce intravascular fibrin and thrombus formation, and that might actually be protective in patients. What about the choice of the P2Y12 inhibitor in COVID patients? This is an interesting question. All of the agents in this class probably reduce platelet leukocyte aggregates and platelet-derived pro-inflammatory cytokines. Ticagrelor may be unique in that it has a well-documented target of inhibition. That's the equilibrative nucleoside transporter, that's called ENT1, which inhibits cellular adenosine uptake. So there's a theoretic argument that ticagrelor might confer more pro-anti-inflammatory properties than use of other P2Y12 inhibitors. What about circulating platelet counts? Studies suggest that thrombocytopenia is associated with increased risk of infection and worsened clinical outcomes in patients with ARDS. Individuals that are thrombocytopenic would probably have a loss of the ability to deposit fibrinogen and fail to seal damaged pulmonary vasculature. As we think about this situation, the overall recommendation is to use traditional dual antiplatelet therapy in patients who are COVID-19 positive who get a PCI. If there's worry for bleeding, then perhaps one option is to only use aspirin for, say, a month to 3 months, and then drop that and use the P2Y12 inhibitors. This, of course, comes from other trials suggesting that this is a very reasonable strategy. Clearly, for the moment, we would not suggest that DAPT be discontinued before 3 months, if at all possible. Obviously, there's a lot of science that needs to be identified here, but I thought this was an interesting perspective on dual antiplatelet therapy after PCI in COVID-19 patients. The last study I want to talk about is a study of the experience of screening healthcare workers in England for COVID-19. And the investigators used a community testing pathway where staff, mostly hospital employees, but also some general practitioners, contacted their occupational health service. A symptom screen was done, and if they had cough or fever, they went to a testing pod where they were tested for COVID positivity using both nasal and throat swabs. They had PCR assay, and the results were available within 24 hours. And they studied the response of their staff in terms of how many developed or had COVID-19 from March 10th to the end of March this year. So over these 3 weeks, they tested over 1,600 staff. Positive tests were seen in 14%. The mean age of positives, 42 years, similar to those who were negative. 12 staff had to be retested for recurrent symptoms, and one of them turned positive. Positivity rates went up. They started at around 5%, and they ended up near 20% by the end of the study. A couple of interesting things emerged from this. First of all, the authors concluded that their current isolation protocols and their PPE were sufficient right now, at least, to prevent high levels of nosocomial transmission among their frontline staff. They also saw what they thought was a positive effect of testing. That is, their healthcare workers who tested negative felt confident about going to work, and those who were positive were confident in self-isolation. And they speculated that testing actually might have had a benefit also, in that staff who had mild symptoms who were not tested might have been tempted to soldier on and go to work, not wanting to let down their colleagues. But if they were positive, then clearly understanding that a positive test meant they could shed the virus and share it with their coworkers, and this would be obviously not good. So this is a really interesting paper. I recommend you read it. And as we start to open up our clinics and our hospital wards to more elective type cases, I do think this type of testing will be an important part of how we react to the pandemic, both now and in the future. I want to thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly podcast from acc.org. Please go to the website. We have a whole new look to the COVID-19 hub. It's beautifully organized, and it's very easy to look at material that may be beneficial to you. We have these journal scans. We have the articles linked. We have webinars and all kinds of resources for you there. I recorded this on Monday, April 27th, and I look forward to talking to you again next week. Please stay safe, and thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View.